All right. Tithe and offering. Does anybody need an envelope? Raise your hand. We'll get you that. So it's always tough following Pastor Jonah in his tithe messages because he does a wonderful job and he covers everything. And then I say to myself, well, what do I speak on? But I did happen to come across, I was actually listening to my Bible readings yesterday, and I came across Numbers 11. A little backstory, this is where Israel is complaining, weird, but they're complaining about not having any meat. You know, they're getting tired of the manna. They're, you know, they miss their cucumbers and their onions and their leeks and their fish and, you know, forget about all the amazing things that God has done for them along the way and forget about the fact that they themselves pushed themselves out of the promised land for, you know, what should have been a 3-day trip turned into a 40-year trip. But, you know, that's just kind of shows us our heart. You know, it's not just the Israelites' heart. You know, I think we can see a lot of ourselves, I know I can, in them at times. But so they're complaining, and even Moses got in on the act a little bit this time. You know, he's usually very stout, and, you know, he's the one pleading for the Israelites' life most of the time. But even this time, Moses got in on the act a little bit. And Moses, starting in verse 20. But even a whole month until it came out of your... So he's talking about he's sending the quail. So he's going to send meat. He's going to send meat more than they can hope, think, or ask, and they're going to get so sick of this meat. Because there's just going to be an overabundance of this meat, and they're just going to choke on this meat, basically. But even a whole month, until it comes out your nostrils, and until it be loathsome unto you, because that you have despised the Lord which is among you, and you have wept before him, saying, why we came forth out of Egypt. I mean, what a statement there in itself, you know. Why did you bring us out? Anyways, that's a different sermon. But and Moses said, the people among who I am are 600,000 footmen. So that's just the men. There's a lot more. And thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. So here we go. Now listen and see if you can identify to any of this. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? So, here's Moses. So what are we going to do? Just kill everything? You know, not even that would feed everybody. And what are we going to do? Are we going to drain the oceans? Are we going to drain the rivers to give them the fish? You know, how often do we get stuck in that mode? Before we even let God, before we even hear from God, before we even do anything, we're already talking ourselves out of it. We're already passing blame. We're already doing what Moses did here. And the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether or not my word shall come to pass unto thee. So the Lord just basically said, oh what, you don't think I can do it? Has my ability all of a sudden shut off? Has my promise and blessings all of a sudden shut off? Has my authority all of a sudden just been turned off? You know, how easy can we forget about the awesome things that the Lord has done for us? You know, we bump into something and we immediately go to, oh, woe is me. You know, and this is offering, so I can see this in myself in finances. You know, thankfully I'm growing in it, and thankfully I have some victories that I'm rehearsing and leaning on, and that pushed me forward. But how often do we look at our financial circumstances and say, oh, well, you couldn't, how am I supposed to do this? You know, not even if somebody gave me X amount of money would it provide for what I need right now. You know, God is God. Whether in our finances, whether in any area of our life, God is God, and He supplies our needs. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to walk out His plan, His purpose for our lives. And yes, that takes finances. He's not unaware of what we need. Don't limit him before you even talk to him. You know, don't let the complaining be your intercourse with God. You know, go boldly before the throne. We can ask questions, yes. But what's our heart intent behind it? Okay, God, I have this situation. I need this. What do you say? What's your word for me? What do you have for me? But we can go boldly before the throne. We don't have to crawl. We don't have to sit there, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy, I'm unworthy. And then, you know, maybe he'll throw you a crumb if you beg good enough. That's not the God we serve. We serve a good God in all areas of our lives, including finances. I had to really break some strongholds, I would say, in my life as far as finances, because I grew up in a situation where enough was good enough. Enough was enough to get us by, but it was never enough to go above and beyond. I have things in my heart. I want to help people. I want to help those around me. I want to send people to school like I was sent to school. That's my heart. And that takes finances. And I don't know where it's coming from. I don't. But I trust that when my heart is right and my heart is aligned with my will and purpose of God, that it's there. So, I hope that helps. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are the God of more than enough. Father, and we just thank you that we can come boldly before you in any and all circumstances and finances, Lord. Help us to get over this hill of finances. You want us to succeed. You want us to move forward. You want us to bless others. And you use us. So we just thank you, Lord, that you're always talking, that you're always speaking, that you're always leading. And just help us to pay attention. Help us to listen and help us to hear. And we thank you for the money that's coming in right now, that it's going to the right places, that it's pushing forth this ministry, and that this church is succeeding and is going to continue to succeed and is going to be more than enough for this area. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. So, I don't know that everybody here has heard Nate speak, so I'm going to introduce him. He is Nate Arden. He is the associate pastor at Grandy. He's been there for about 7 years or so, and he is a recent Caris Bible College graduate. He always has great things to say, so welcome, Nate, and it's all yours.
See, are we on? Sounds like it. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm privileged to be here today to speak with you guys and to share what God's put on my heart for this body and for the kingdom of God. Let's just open with prayer. Father, we just come to you today. Father, I pray that we have a special revelation of your word today. That word that we get revealed to us gets settled in our hearts and our minds, and it transforms us into who you want us to be. It molds us and guides us and leads us in Jesus' name. Excuse me. You know, you don't have to look very far in today's world to notice that things are quite different than they were about 6 months ago. You know, you see businesses that are partially open, not fully functioning. You see whole industries forced to make drastic changes in their business models. I'll use my work for example. I work for a day program that serves adults with disabilities, and we have to all the time maintain 6 foot social distance. We have to all the time wear a mask anytime we're in a public place unless we're 12 feet away from someone or we're in a room all by ourselves. I can be in a building that's 3,000 square feet and if there's 2 people in there, I have to wear a mask. And it's sad. We saw that churches were closed. Hallelujah, we only closed for a short period of time. Most of the churches have an RVFM. But we see this all through our country. I'm not trying to paint a down picture here. I'm just trying to set up what we're going to talk about here today. What the Lord put on my heart. You see, I watched last night, I watched the baseball game, the Twins. How many guys like the Twins? Oh, you guys are from Wisconsin, though. Oh. But you watch the game on TV, and there's no one there. Nobody cheering. You know, and it's all fun. You know, the biggest thing was social distancing for me. It drives me crazy. I love to give hugs. I always wondered too, you know, you go into a Walmart or any business and you see all these little X's on the floor, you know, stay 6 feet apart. You know, I think 2020 is going to be one of the most confusing years for any pirate. He's not going to know where to dig. There's too many X's. He's not going to know what to do. I saw that on Facebook, so it was really funny. I laughed too, so. But you know what really kind of set this whole sermon in motion was I saw this commercial on TV. And it was from the Department of Human Services or whatever. But they kept talking about the same thing, this new norm. The new, I gotta wear a face mask so nobody can see me or hear me. Or I gotta stay 6 feet away from my brother or my sister. Right? The new norm. This is what they said. This is the way it's gonna be going forward. And it really just kind of, it made me almost ill when they said that. It just rose up in my spirit and said, no. I can't believe that they'd say this. Not that I can't believe that they would say that. I didn't believe it. I didn't want to take that as a reality in my life. I said, Lord, I'm not accepting this new norm. I'm not going down this road. So I went to prayer. I said, Lord, what am I going to do about this? And he said, I want you to teach on it. I want you to preach on it. I want you to preach on the new norm. But you'll see there's a twist in it as we follow here today, as we go along. But that thing just rose up in my spirit, and it just, it made me angry to hear that word. I'm not going to accept that. You know, there was really very little, if anything, and that commercial that was aligned with the Word of God. I'm not going to lie to you, and I don't watch a ton of TV, but it just, I could go on and on. We want to get out of that mindset. We're going to move on to what the Lord wants us to talk about. You know, the words of Apostle, it just brought these words to Apostle Paul to my mind. Ephesians 6:12, it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. You see, it's not the guy that wrote that commercial that I'm fighting against. It's the principle that they believe. It's the principle that they're trying to set forth that I'm fighting against. You know, I'm not warring against him. It's the thought process, what they're thinking, how they're deceived. That's where we war. You know, Andrew Womack has a new teaching. It's called a worldview. It talks about their worldview. Or really, it kind of wraps into this. How do we look at the things of life? You know, in this teaching, he's presenting the case that most, and I repeat, most Christians have a worldview based on something else other than the Scripture. And that's sad. Back to the new norm. Is our new norm what the Bible says, or is our new norm what the world is saying? This worldview based on something other than Scripture is really evil. You know, the phrase, the new norm, it is a worldly principle. You know, when we take into context what they're trying to proclaim, masks, social distancing, no large gathering. This really is contrary to what God has told us. My spirit was worn against this stuff. I just couldn't accept it. The Lord kind of told me, He says, as I was praying through this and thinking, well, okay, so you want me to talk about the new norm, but you don't want me to talk about masks and social distancing and all these stupid things that the world is putting against us right now, the virus, whatever it is. The Lord said, I want you to talk about my new norm. When you really look at it, it's not new. It's been around for a long time. And I can only share a little bit that He's put on my heart today because I really couldn't. Well, I think this is the new norm. Where do we start? On page 1 or page 4,000? This is the new norm. Andrew Womack in his teaching says that we have to have a radical shift in our worldview. We need to look at everything in retrospect of God. We need to look at and say, what does He say about the events that are unfolding? Again, I shared one of the things in my mind, the way my brain works, was the whole concept of social distancing and how contrary it is to the Word of God. You know, Jesus went up to the leper and He touched him. He wasn't scared of the leper, right? More than once. Psalms 91, verse 9 and 10 says, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. That is a biblical worldview. It's not really all about that, but What I really want to focus is what the Word of the Lord told me when I was in prayer about the whole concept of the new norm. The new norm is all about our perspective. So in prep for this, I just needed to declare that God wants a new norm for His followers. This is a declaration to myself. This is a declaration to you that are all hearing this. And this is a declaration to relation to the kingdom of God in general, which RBFM is part of and all the churches are part of this. This is what God wants. But what does it look like? How do we discern what this new norm looks like? How do we know? How do we know? Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The first step of knowing the new norm is that we need to renew our mind. We need to know what the Word of God says. What the Bible teaches us, what the men of God teach us out of the Scripture, because they're part of it. We need to know the Word. Psalms 119, verses 9 through 11. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you, O Lord, sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. The word hidden in your heart. Ephesians 5:26 says that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. I know most of you guys know that this is a passage talking about husbands and wives. And I like this. I love this whole part of the Bible. I am not married, but I still like it. It's good. But I love how the Bible uses parables to teach us. The analogy that they're talking about here is Christ in the church. Jesus is washing the church, which is the bride, the wife, with the Word. You know, the common thing we see in all the scriptures that I just read is transformation. It's change. It's something different. It's renewing of the mind. It's cleansing the way. It's washing of the water by the word. This is how we understand what the new norm is supposed to be. the new norm, one that the Father wants us to operate under, is a norm founded by the Word of God. Not a norm influenced by the things in the natural realm, but a new norm that is spiritually discerned. We can apply this new norm to so many areas of our walk, be it healing, be it giving, be it serving, be it loving, be it prosperity. I can go on and on for hours because God is so good. There's so many things that He blesses us with. Every spiritual blessing. I can go on. That list is huge. But what we really need to understand is that it's not really, I lost my place, a new norm. It's getting back to the way things were. The new norm God wants us to live in is a norm full of Him. Turn your Bibles to Acts 5. Scripture teaches us that in Him we live and move and have our being. Everything that I taught today was just a setup to get to this point. Acts 5. Acts 5 verse 12. Hallelujah. Acts 5 verse 12 says, "And through the hands of the apostles many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they all were with one accord in Solomon's porch." This is the new norm the Lord wants. The scripture says, "Many signs and wonders were done among the people." This is not the only one, the only new norm that He wants to, you guys to renew your mind to, but it's the one I want to talk about today. Signs. He says, many signs and wonders were done through the people. What are signs? Signs can be like a road sign. They can tell you where River Valley Christian Church Lighthouse is. It's right there. There's a sign right out in front, right? They can be things that guide our path. Road signs, like I talked about. When somebody says a sign, I think of the big giant billboard advertisement right away. I've seen some really, really interesting ones. I will not share them in this setting. There's a couple of them about the governor in Minnesota. We'll just keep it at that. You can go online, and I'm sure you can look it up. But it's their advertisement. They tell us what's out there, what's available, where we can go, right? Signs. You know, they really don't do us any good if they're not visible. If you can't see the sign and know where to go, why put a sign there? Make them visible. If we can't see them, they become unprofitable. You know, I'm also a deer hunter. I love to go deer hunting. I don't shoot a lot of deer. I like to sit in the woods and take naps with a gun in my hand. But that's what I like to do. It's okay. It doesn't matter. I'm enjoying my time in the woods. But I think a sign when I'm deer hunting, right? You see the tracks on the ground and you can follow them. You can see, maybe it's a trail. There's a big trail where lots of deer have walked. Or during the rut, you see the bucks would make scrapes on the ground and things, rubs and all kinds of stuff. And you know that they're around and that they're here. Signs reveal the presence of something. It either was there or is going to be coming back there because the trail leads there. I think the signs they're talking about here advertise Jesus and they show us where He's been and where He's going. Back to Acts 5. Acts 5, 13 and 14 says, "Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women." This is going to be another new norm that we're going to see. I'm making this declaration today against all of the kingdom of God. And believers were increasingly added, multitudes of both men and women. You see, people saw the miraculous things, the signs and wonders that we were just talking about. What did they do? You can kind of read into this a little bit. They went and brought their friends. How else did the people get there? How did they all come? They went and told people. The signs drew people to God, to Jesus. The Holy Spirit was at work. I got ahead of myself. That's right. You know, you go back and look. The product of what the apostles were preaching and teaching, people came to the Lord. This was a product of what they were doing. They were out there performing miracles through the power of the Holy Spirit, and people came to the God, to the Lord. You see, the supernatural is just one of the main ways, is one of the ways, and I would say probably the main way, that God testifies of Himself. In the Gospel of Mark, you can go ahead and turn there if you want. Mark 16. You can keep your finger in Acts because we're coming back there. I should have told you that before, but after you turn the page. Mark 16. This is where Jesus is commissioning the church. He's telling the people, this is what I want. This is what I expect. Mark 16, verse 15 through 18 says, "And He said to them, 'Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In My name, they will cast out demons, and they will speak with new tongues, and they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover.'" I love it. These signs will follow those who believe. It sounds like they're talking about signs and wonders and miracles, which we just read back in Acts. But again, notice how it doesn't say these signs will follow the apostles or the pastors or the teachers. They're included in this, but it says these signs will follow all who believe. Those who believe. Not some, those who believe. These are really the works of the Holy Spirit. The works of the Holy Spirit are following those who believe. This is a new norm. I'm going to declare this again. This is how the Father wants us to operate, under the works of the Holy Spirit. Being led by the Holy Spirit in our daily life, in every area. Not just when you get up here to preach, or when you teach, or when you're saying your nightly prayers at home. In every area of your life, how is God leading and guiding you? I don't know how many of you guys have heard of Bill Johnson. I've listened to quite a bit of his sermons. But remember when Jesus was baptized, and the dove came down and sat on His shoulder? Like a dove, the Holy Spirit descended upon Him, and it remained like a dove on His shoulder. Bill Johnson uses this analogy, and it really is interesting. But he says, when you have a dove on your shoulder, how do you walk your life out? Anybody know anything about doves? They're the most skittish thing in the world. You even look at them, they fly away. Everything that you do in your life needs to be conscious of what that dove is doing. Every move you make, you need to pay attention to what the Holy Spirit's telling you or what it's going to do. Everything, or that dove, has a chance to fly away. Be conscious of what the Holy Spirit's doing. That's the message there. The Apostle Paul teaches us about the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit in the book of Corinthians. This is what he writes. He says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills." We see all kinds of supernatural things in that list that I just read. I'm not going to pick apart every one of them. That's maybe for a different time. But there is all kinds of supernatural activity in that list that we just looked at. this list that God has given to us through the Holy Spirit. But if we go ahead and we jump down to verse 31 in 1 Corinthians 12, it says, "But earnestly desire the best gift, yet I show you a more excellent way." We need to get to a place in our life where we are earnestly desiring spiritual gifts. Paul says it in two different areas in his life, in his writings, that we need to seek these. We need to really desire. Lord, I want to prophesy. Not for me. It's for the benefit of everyone else. Lord, I want to see healings and signs and wonders. Show me how. Teach me. Guide me. Seek this desire, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. This, again, is the new norm. He wants you to look for these things every day, all the time. Where's the opportunity to exercise the power of God? Again, I say this is the new norm. But it's not new. It's just renewing our mind to what God has already told us. The new norm is for His people to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. A power meant for good, and a power meant to glorify the Lord. This is the desire of the Lord for His church. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts." Again, you see, desire spiritual, again, the second time. But it says, pursue love. Interesting. In between verse chapter 12, where Paul lists the spiritual gifts, is the love chapter, chapter 13. Most of us probably could recite a lot of it by memory. But he's telling us to pursue love. Well, what's love? You can answer. What's that? God, you're correct. God is love. He's telling us to pursue me. Because I am love. Pursue my kingdom and my righteousness. Seek my kingdom and my righteousness. I said the wrong word, but it doesn't matter. It's the same thing. Pursue God. And desire spiritual gifts that He gives us. We need to finish up here. Jonah's looking at his clock. No, I'm just kidding. I got to pick on you a little bit. Back to Acts 5. If you go ahead and you can turn back there, we're at verse 12. Acts 5, verse 12. And he says, "And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women." We actually did that one. It was a refresher. So we're going to go to verse 15. Verse 15 says, "So that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches." It just amazes me. "That at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed." So here's my last point about the new norm. Actually, it probably won't be, but I'm going to say it's the last one. Father kind of challenged me on this, and this isn't a condemning statement, but he said, ask this question. He says, do you, me included, have the faith to bring out your friends in the street and see them get healed? Drag them out. They were on beds and cots. So I'm guessing they weren't very mobile. This isn't a condemning thing. This is how we need to renew our mind. Are we willing to pursue God so much that we're willing to go to this level of faith that I'm going to drag this person out here in the street that when Peter walks by, his shadow is going to heal him? We need to start thinking that way. I know it's hard. It's really hard. But we need to start thinking that way. Because God is that good. Let me kind of give you my tone down. That was my Holy Spirit interpretation. This is my this is my little caveat on that scripture verse. The new norm God wants is to have us do whatever it takes to see our friends healed. He wants us to pursue love, pursue God, and desire spiritual gifts so that we will see the results we saw done by the early church. And that's what it said in verse 16. They were all healed. This all comes to the renewing of our mind and pursuing the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And I know we're all at different stages, but please keep pressing in. This is my encouragement to you. Keep pressing into this, because we are going to see this. The Bible tells us this is what's going to happen. The Lord told me to tell you this is what's going to happen. I'm not the only one that said this. This has been said for centuries. We just need to keep pursuing it. We need to keep pushing in. I'm going to end with this. God wants a new norm, but it's not really new. It's been demonstrated for centuries by disciples of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your truth. Thank You for Your motivation and Your encouragement today, Lord. Father, I pray that we all renew our mind to what Your Word says. The power that is inside of this book will change lives, change people, will change the course of history. Father, we pray today that everyone receives a healing that they need. Hallelujah. 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 Just spend a minute here. Just worship God. Hallelujah. Praise Your name. Father, we love You. We glorify You today in this place. We sing praises to You. We lift our voice. One body united. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.